What a wonderful future the believer has, as we have been singing. We shall someday see the Lord Jesus. And may I humbly but very faithfully say, the greatest person in the universe, we shall see him face to face. And tell and sing that story, saved by grace. I often value the words of another hymn writer, William R. Newell, when he wrote, "Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. And oh, the mighty gulf that God did span." And where did he do that? At Calvary. Oh, my beloved fellow believers, what a joy it is. And what a great privilege to be here with you and have the privilege of speaking of that blessed person, the person of our Lord Jesus Christ, the only Savior in the world and of the world. If you have your Bible with you and would like to turn to the reading this morning, Luke's Gospel, chapter 19, the Gospel according to Luke. How blessed it is to find as we turn to the Word of God. We see the glory of that same blessed one whom we are looking forward to seeing in that coming day of his return. And oh, may I rejoice with you that on the pages of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the greatness of that person has been revealed, and a record of his life from his babyhood until his death upon Calvary. And here we have in Luke chapter 19, one of the great occasions when he manifested his power and his grace to save a poor lost sinner. Chapter 19 in the Gospel according to Luke. Reading, "And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho." If you've ever followed the reading of Luke's Gospel in this particular way, he was on his way to Jerusalem to be crucified, and he went through Jericho. "And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. And he sought to see Jesus, who he was, and could not for the press, because he was little of stature. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place," aren't you glad he came there? "He looked up and saw him and said unto him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house.' And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it," that is, those who were witnessing, "they all murmured," they complained about it, "saying that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, 'Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold.' And Jesus said unto him, 'This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost.'" May God bless the reading of this section of his holy word. And beloved, I hope by the Holy Spirit's power and his enablement, you and I can meditate upon the incident in the blessed life of the Lord Jesus and this occasion when he brought Zacchaeus into the knowledge of salvation. Note the opening words of our chapter. They are of great importance if you know your Bible and remember the history of your Bible. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. I trust all of you may know the history of Jericho. It's an Old Testament story, in the book of Joshua particularly. And you may remember that on that occasion, it was the first great city that the children of Israel in the land of Canaan conquered by the grace and the power and the mercy of God and the help of God. Jericho. It was called the city of a curse. It was a wicked place. And God declared he was going to destroy it. Which he did. A strange victory he won, or the children of Israel won. When the Lord of hosts led them in that victory, they did not battle with their hands. They did a strange thing. They walked around the city once every day for 7 days, and on the seventh day, they walked around it 7 times. And then at the end of the 7th time, the people shouted as God commanded them to shout and sound a victory. And do you know what happened? The walls of Jericho fell down flat. God smote the city. Then if you read afterward, he placed a curse upon it and said, cursed be the man that ever rebuilds it. Yet when the Lord Jesus was here, there it was. In the record of 1 Kings chapter 16, a man by the name of Hiel, a Bethelite, rebuilt the city. And he bore the curse that God had put upon it if any man rebuild it. But here's the wonder of wonders. Note the importance of it. The divine and the holy Son of God came to Jericho and he passed through it. Now, beloved, let me remind you and let me enlarge your thinking. Aren't you glad Jericho is the type of the world? That sin is cursed. The greatest curse that has ever come into this world came by sin. As you may well know through Adam in the Garden of Eden. And you may well remember the story there. God placed a curse upon the ground because of Adam's disobedience. My beloved, let me say, you and I live in a world that sin is cursed. If you don't believe it, just read your newspaper and listen to the news every day. The curse of sin is manifested. But oh, wonder of wonders, let me repeat the words again of that old hymn I quoted. Oh, the love that brought, love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down where? To man. Aren't you glad the Lord Jesus came? He may not have visited personally Florence, South Carolina, but he came into the world. As Paul writes in 1st chapter of Timothy in verse 15, this is a faithful saying that Christ Jesus came where? Into the world. Thank God he came where there was a curse that sin had brought. To manifest his grace. And to save poor wretched sinners. Now here's the story of a man. In verse 2. There was a man named Zacchaeus, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Now, beloved, you may raise the question, and it's a good question. What does it mean that he was a publican? What does it mean that he was the chief of the publicans? If you've ever studied your New Testament, you may have noticed. The publicans of that day when Jesus lived were greatly despised. The average Jew hated the publicans. And you say, why? Every one of them was a tax collector for the Roman government. They collected taxes from their own earthly people to pass them on to the Roman government. And it was a despised occupation for any Jew to have. You may remember, if you don't mind, the first gospel written by Matthew was written by a man who had been a publican. And there was seated at this place where he collected taxes, the Lord Jesus came along and said to him, follow me. Then you may remember, if you've ever read Luke chapter 15, the great beginning of the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost boy. It begins by saying, after the Lord Jesus said that, made the statement at the end of the preceding chapter, he that is here, let him hear. Then came unto him many publicans and sinners for to hear him. My beloved, the publicans were a class of sinners that were despised by their fellow companion Jews. And Zacchaeus was one of them. Even after Matthew was saved, he gave a feast to the Lord Jesus in his home. And there the Pharisees complained that he had gone to be guests with a man that was a sinner, and nothing but sinners and publicans were in the feast. And it was there the Lord Jesus made it very clear to them. He did not come to the world to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. My beloved, let me say this, you'll never get saved unless you're a repentant sinner. He came to call sinners, no matter what kind they were and who they were, to repentance. I think of the words of Paul as he wrote them in Acts chapter 17, telling that God commandeth all men everywhere to do what? Repent. Repent. For he hath appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he hath raised from the dead, hath ordained whom he raised from the dead, the Lord Jesus. My beloved, why the need of repentance? My God, let me say there's a great need for repentance. Should any man, woman, boy, and girl today expose themselves to the day of judgment that's coming and be destroyed forever, and separated from the holy God forevermore? There's a day of judgment coming. I don't know that Zacchaeus knew about it, and maybe whether he heard of it. But let's read on in the story. And we find he was rich at the end of verse 2. My beloved, let me say this. How did he get his riches? I'm sure he did not get them honestly. One advantage that a publican had, he had to deliver to the Roman government a certain amount. But any amount he collected above it, he could keep for him, and he did keep for himself. And there is no question of doubt that Zacchaeus, in the context of the story, proves it. Had become rich by this unholy occupation. But then there came a desire in his heart, as you read verse 3, and thank God for it. He sought to see Jesus, who he was. How come he ever desired to see who Jesus was? No question of doubt, he had heard of the conversion of Matthew. He had heard of the conversion of other publicans. He had heard of the fact that many publicans and sinners had found God through Christ. You remember the occasion in another chapter, the 18th, I believe, of this book? The Lord Jesus told of two men going into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other a publican. And the Pharisee prayed. And the prayer is recorded, if I recall, 33 words he spoke, supposedly to God. But I don't believe God even heard him. For all he did was talk and boast about himself. He was not a repentant sinner. But there nearby was a publican who came into the temple of the same. And why did he come? Not to boast who he was and what he was, but to confess, which he did, that seven-word prayer, God, be merciful to me, the sinner. And he would not even look up with his eyes to heaven, but his head bowed down and smote his breast in the spirit of contrition and repentance, saying and praying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And he acknowledged he was a sinner. Let me raise the question. Isn't that what you and I who were saved did? For if I am persuaded on the authority of the Word of God, it was necessary for me, and thank God I did it, confessing that I was a lost sinner in repentance for my sins. And let me be reminded with you, every man, woman, boy, and girl is a sinner. As the Word of God declares it, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Read Romans chapter 3 and verse 10 and on, and where the condemnation of the just and the holy God upon the whole human race is declared. And in the end of verse 19 he declares, that all the world may become guilty before God. If God tells you and me, we are sinners, is he right? He is absolutely right. In fact, he knows it better than we do. He's had to put up with it. And he does. But here was Zacchaeus, he had a desire to see Jesus. The best desire anyone could ever have. He never realized how much it would mean to him. But it was a good desire. But there was an obstacle in the way. And he could not see him because of the crowd. And he, unfortunately, was little or small of stature. An impossible. One thing, please let me say it, please. You read Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and especially Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and the life of the Lord Jesus. Multitudes often crowded around him, and wherever he went, there was a crowd. But the crowd was a hindrance to Zacchaeus. But his determination was genuine, as you may read in verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. My beloved, I'll tell you one thing. A marvelous fact that he was a man who wanted to see Jesus and climbed up into a tree just to look down and see him, knowing he had to come that way. May I give you the thought? A seeking sinner will always find a seeking Savior. For the Lord knew he was there. Oh, my beloved, what a perfect picture this is of the grace and the sovereignty of the Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing the desire of this man's heart and the need that he had of salvation, he took notice of it. And as you may read, as you go to verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up. My beloved, let me say, the Lord Jesus never has failed to meet the need of one as a poor, guilty sinner seeking him. You remember what he made the statement in John chapter 6, verse 37, I believe. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. And let me say lovingly, though Zacchaeus didn't realize it, and neither did you, and neither did I, the Lord Jesus was anxious to save us and to meet us. A seeking Savior, and he came to the place. Well, the place where did he find me? Well, he didn't find me in Florence. It was up in the state of New York, in the city of Rochester. At a gospel service, where I had in the Sunday school of that particular place, the ministry of the gospel faithfully given week after week in the Sunday school class, bringing the way and the need of salvation to my soul faithfully. Till at last I could not resist coming to the Savior and confessing I want him for my Savior and confessing I'm a sinner. What a joy to know wherever you're. You know, it's a strange. I wonder what a story we could, well, many stories we could have of men being saved in various places. In the bowels of a submarine, even. Coal mines. Name any place you want to. Could be in the office where you work. Or at home. Or on the street. Oh, the joy of knowing. There's not a place in the world but what you can find the Lord Jesus if you want him. But I will confess that not many people want him. But thank God, Zacchaeus had that desire to see Jesus. And note, as we continue in verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. It wasn't a question of looking down on him, it was a question of looking up to him on this occasion. And he saw him. What a joy to know the sovereignty of this blessed person and his knowledge. He knows where we are in the time of our need. And you and I as a believer can rejoice to know he has made the promise, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we can boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I shall not fear what man can do unto me. But I want you to note something. As it says, he came to the place, he looked up and saw him. And then he said to him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today I must abide at thy house. And may I say this? It was an urgent matter. I know from the record of this book that Luke has finished. The Lord never came back to Jericho. He was on his way where? To another tree. Not a sycamore tree, but to the tree of Calvary. I wonder what the Lord was thinking. Here was Zacchaeus up a tree. And the Lord saw him. And the Lord knew this. All you need to do is read the rest of the Gospel of Luke that follows, and you'll find the Lord Jesus was determined to go to Jerusalem and die. Zacchaeus may not have realized it, but the Lord Jesus did. It takes us all a long time to realize why the Lord Jesus came and died on the cross, does it not? But when Jesus came to the place and looked up and saw, and know what he says, he gave him an invitation. Make haste! It's a matter of urgency. May I say again, please, would to God there were more unsaved people here today. And anyone that may perhaps be unsaved, I would say, salvation is a important matter, an urgent matter. In fact, the Word of God in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 2 declares, now is the accepted time. Today is the day of salvation. The Lord knew, Zacchaeus, this is the last opportunity for you to know me. Make haste! And no one thing he said, come down. You're too high up. We sang that lovely hymn. I'm only a sinner, nor have I gotten but what I receive. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. Can I repeat it? You have to confess I'm a sinner. I'm a lost sinner to get saved. The Pharisee in his prayer prayed and told God how much he was doing. And how great he was. The Lord never heard him. But the publican went home saved, justified, and cleared from his sin. And here we have Zacchaeus told, make haste and come down. One sure thing. You can't put yourself on a pedestal and expect God, the Lord Jesus, to save you. Please, may I say, you've got to get down at his feet. Down at the foot of the cross. Come down. Come down. I remember a dear servant of God I knew well. And on an occasion that he had, he was a faithful servant of God. Very blunt at times, unusually blunt in dealing with souls. But he recognized oftentimes what they needed more than they did. On one occasion in a tent meeting that he was holding, some Christian ladies brought some of their friends. And as he was introduced to some of these ladies, one particular lady he was introduced to, he said to her as he greeted her and said he was glad to meet her. And he asked her the question, have you found you're a lost sinner? And you know what she said? I'd like you to know I'm not a sinner. And he knew it was a very difficult case. She was proud of herself. You know what he said to her? Why, you ungodly wretch? Well, you know, if you read Romans chapter 3, we're all told that we're ungodly. without God. That's all he said to him, very brief, very blunt. But thank God, he said, two or three days later, she was calling him on the phone and said, "Brother, I want to know how to get saved. I know I'm a sinner." He had reached the conviction of that she needed of her soul, a sinner. Let me point out to you the work of the Holy Spirit. As the Lord Jesus told it in John chapter 16, about the Holy Spirit of God who's in the world today. Why is he here? What is his work toward the world? John 16 and verse 8. "He shall convince the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment and of sin, because what? They believe not on me. And of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. And of judgment, because the prince of this world is one of the first things the Holy Spirit does to win the precious soul, convict them of sin." Oh, what a joy it is when you confess your sinfulness. For he hears it. Now know what he did in verse 6. He obeyed the Lord. He came down hurriedly. He came down faster than he went up, evidently. And receive him. My beloved, may I say, John chapter 1, verse 12. Remember, John the Apostle wrote, "As many as received him, to them gave he the power, the authority to be called the right, to be called the sons or the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." My beloved, let me put it this way. How expressive it is. He received the Lord Jesus. He took him in to his heart. How did he do it? Sorrowfully? No! Joyfully. I remember when the Lord saved me as a young boy. Some of my relatives, they looked at me very queerly. "He's got religion." Wait a minute, did I have religion? I had a person. And that person, Christ. As Paul once stated, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." My beloved, let me say, I say it humbly, but I say it gratefully. When I came to Christ, I found a person. I was later, not very much later, long later, soon after, ridiculed and said I had too much religion. And I answered that dear soul that said it to me, "I don't know much about religion, but let me tell you how I feel. I can never get too much of Christ. He's a person." Know what Peter mentioned in the end of his second epistle, chapter 3 and verse 18. His exhortation to the saints when he wrote long ago. "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ." And so, Zacchaeus received him joyfully. My beloved, I'll tell you one thing. There was nothing unhappy about the time the Lord saved my soul. And well could I sing indeed, "O happy day that fixed my choice on thee, my Savior and my God. Well, may this glowing soul rejoice and spread its raptures all abroad." But now you know, dear, as you come to verse 7, the reaction of the multitude around, they saw it. It's going home with that man. Christ is going home with that publican. They saw it. They murmured that he was gone to be guest with a man that is a sinner. Well, I'll tell you once again, you better confess to him you're a sinner or he'll never go home with you. If never you have. But oh, the joy of knowing, as we sang, Christ receiveth sinful men, spread this word of grace to all, who the heavenly pathway leave, all who linger and all who fall. Sing it over and over again, Christ receiveth sinful men. Now you have in verse 8 something wonderful, proving that he was saved. Zacchaeus heard the murmur. Zacchaeus noted the complaint. But he immediately answered to the Lord. And he gave evidence of his salvation. Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, and no, behold, right now, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. My beloved, let me say this. When salvation is real, true evidence will follow. The epistle of John, 1 John chapter 2. John in that second chapter of his epistle declares, evidence is needed when one confesses Christ. I never forget one occasion. I was invited to a prayer meeting in a home. The people, most of them except the one in whose home it was a stranger to me. But I listened to a man give his testimony who had only recently been saved. An elderly man, middle-aged man. He'd been what we call the huckster, peddling fruit and vegetables round the city and selling them to the housewives. And when he got saved, he was convicted of having cheated some of his customers. And his conscience troubled him concerning one particular woman that he had sold potatoes to frequently. By the bushel. Until the Lord troubled his soul so much and his conscience so great, he said, I'm going to take her a bushel of potatoes. And he went to her home and knocked at the door. And when she came to the door, he said, here, lady, here are your potatoes. Take them. She looked at him in surprise and said, well, I never ordered them. I don't need them. Please, lady, take them. She says, I don't want them, I don't need them, and I haven't ordered them. Oh, he said, lady, please do take them. And then he asked her, confess, lady, please. I cheated you so many times, every time you bought a bushel of potatoes from me, and I want to make it up. You know what she said to him? He confessed it. I would to God that God would save every peddler. My beloved, the restitution was a mark and an evidence of salvation. And in addition to that, know what he says, if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Now Zacchaeus was a Jew. There's no question of doubt he'd heard the reading of the Holy Scriptures again and again. And back in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe he was told that any time a person stole a sheep, he had to give four back to make restitution. And here you have the evidence of salvation. Restitution. Not only the giving away of half of his goods, but the restitution to any person that he had stolen anything falsely from. Now note the testimony of the Lord Jesus. The reality of this man being saved. Verse 9. And Jesus said unto him, This day is salvation come to this house, for so much as he also is the son of Abraham. He said, what do you mean a son? Sure he was a national Jew. Sure he was a Jew by birth. Sure he was a descendant of Abraham. Wait a minute. Abraham is also called the father of the faithful. The believing faithful. Even today. And he had joined the ranks of faithful Abraham. As Abraham believed God and God counted it to him for righteousness. And the Lord Jesus declares he's the true son of Abraham now. You know what? I can say the same. Read Galatians sometime. And there in Galatians, Paul emphasizes that believers today, you know, you and I were saved the same way Abraham was saved. Read Romans chapter 4 and verse 4. Abraham believed God. And it was counted to him for righteousness. God made a promise. That he would give him the nations. The heavenly character of nations as well as the earthly character. To be the father over. And thank God. As did Abraham by faith. We receive righteousness by trusting the Lord Jesus as our Savior. As we sang that old hymn, on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Remember the first verse, my hope is built on nothing less than what? Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, Him alone, the solid rock I stand. Now I think of the statement I heard of an Irishman making, all other rocks are shamrocks. And they are. But oh, go on as you read verse 10. The Lord Jesus adding why he came. For the Son of Man is come to save. And to seek rather. And to save that which was lost. Can I pause for a moment in the opening of that verse, the first phrase? The Son of Man is come to seek. My beloved, before you ever sought God, He was seeking you. Before you ever found Christ, He was seeking you. Seeking the lost. Thank God he came. Let me quote 1 Timothy 1:15 again. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul added, of whom I am chief. And the Lord Jesus sought Paul. Paul was fighting against the Lord Jesus when he was saved. Had come to Damascus to take the Christians and put them in prison or even slay them. And the Lord Jesus stopped him. Yes, he was seeking sinners. And here he says, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. My beloved, may I say again, I'm glad the Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And well might we sing as we did, nought have I gotten but what I received. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded, pride I abase. I'm only a sinner, saved by grace. But what a joy to be saved by grace. Shall we pray? Our dearly beloved Father, we bless thee for thy dearly beloved Son.
We thank thee that he came into this world. No wonder thy servant John wrote on another occasion, here it is, not that we love God, but we